Welcome back to the Crooked Spine Show. Today's talk is with Christy Jones. I've had her on before. She's a certified holistic health coach. We go deep in this talk about the mind, about the body, the connection for one, too. And these are the highlights of our all talk. We start with her and I doing some deep breathing along with people online, too. We did a live show. And at that point, allowed us to kind of reset our body, get things to a more of a present state. We talk about why that's important. Another highlight, too, is about how the nerves are connected to the brain and the gut combination, not just the brain itself. And difference between the mind and the brain and how that works to understand overall health conditions or mental health issues. Another highlight is mindfulness and how when a child learns mindfulness, how it helps them with ADHD or adults in general staying focused. We talk about something called heart math. Heart math helps link the heart and the brain. We detail that again in the show notes and overall show itself. We also talk about, too, how do we get to a calm state and how our body should feel having a cool head and a warm abdomen and what that means. We do that in her exercise of tapping, things we talk about that we can do to get to that cool state and calm state. How motion is important to get to that emotional calm state and relaxed state. Also, what are mirror neurons and how that works to help our body feel overall good in a good environment or not if we're in a bad environment. Also, too, how chronic pain helps or hurts overall body's digestion, our mindset, and our physical body even more. So I hope you understand that this helps you overall. Go to our highlights of the show. Also, other highlights of the other shows, too. Go right to the talk now with Christy. Let's understand how our body works.
All right, this is Dr. Tony. This is my Facebook page. I put it on YouTube also. This is Christy Jones. She is my expert in mindfulness, connecting the brain to the mind, and also movement, how that helps your overall body. Maybe a youth, maybe an elderly person, maybe a senior, maybe someone our ages, which is between 30 and 50 years old, to give people big range today. All right? So, Christy, take it over. What's your background like, Christy? Tell me what's going on. Tell me what you're up to.
Yeah, so before we even start that, would you mind if we took a couple breaths together?
Yes.
You know, I feel like when we're coming together, just being able to take a few deep breaths. So anybody that's watching, I invite you to do this with us as well. Go ahead and put one hand on your heart and one hand on your abdomen. And let's take five deep breaths together, breathing all the way to our abdomen. Okay. And so I'm not going to count because I want it to be silent as we're doing this, but just count your own breaths, breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth, and just allowing ourselves to be here together virtually. So let's put our hands here. Close your eyes if you're comfortable. Leave your eyes open if you're not comfortable, and just gaze down on the floor. And let's go ahead and breathe in through our nose, all the way down to your abdomen, and then breathe out. And let's do one more. And after you finish that breath, just check in with your body and notice, what do you feel inside after taking those few breaths? And when you're ready, go ahead and open your eyes. What do you notice, Dr. Tony?
I can feel my heartbeat. I can feel my pulse. I feel a little bit lighter, maybe a little lightheaded. If I pass out, you'll know what happened. But beyond that, I feel good.
Yeah. Doesn't it feel good to just start our time together that way?
It does. It kind of gets you reset, if you want to call it that. Present moment.
Right. So often, like, I know you're coming right from patients, and I'm coming from another activity, and anybody joining us, you know, who knows what you've been doing in your day. So when we can pause, when we start a different activity, and just pause for a moment and recenter ourselves, we're connecting our brain and our head. The reason we put our hand here is we're connecting our heart brain, because we found out that we have neurons around our heart, and then we have the gut brain. And so you're connecting your three brains together. Right?
Good.
So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so now we're ready to start.
Yes, we are.
So thanks for breathing with me. And so you were asking me?
Basically, with the topic being difference between the mind and the brain, how does that work, Christy? You kind of done a lot of personal development in that, talked to mentors, being very current in that field. I kind of want to pick your brain, how that connection works, be the similarities and differences.
Okay, yes. And so, you know, I'm really going to attribute a lot of the learning that I've had to the kids that I work with. So one of the things that I'm honored to do is I get to work with kids TK through fifth grade in my local school district. And so our kids are really, they've been my best teachers. And so, you know, going into schools, I'm the nutrition educator. I'm supposed to teach them ways to really take care of their body, make healthy food choices. And what I've seen in schools is this increase in anxiety, increase in depression, and realizing that where our kids need, you know, food is really important, but they need some tools to be able to regulate their emotions and focus their mind. And you know, seeing that so often kids are focused outside versus inside. And that's not just kids, right? Yeah. And so, you know, I started studying mindfulness and realizing one of the most important things I can teach people is how to listen inside. You know, listen inside to that voice that we get inside. Have you ever had a heart feeling or a gut feeling?
Yeah, intuition, I call it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's our body talking to us. And so in third grade, I get to teach the full curriculum is on mindfulness. And
wow, okay.
You know, so how do you teach 8-year-olds a concept that you can't see? So I'll ask them, you know, have you ever heard of the word mindfulness before? Right. And this is going to get to why there's a difference between the mind and the brain. And, sure. and I'm not, so all of you that are joining, I'm not able to talk and focus on comments. So I'm just going to talk and comment, and I can answer questions later if you have questions. I'm not able to do the two things. Thank you for joining us. I'm so glad you're here. And so, so I'll ask them, like, you know, what have you ever heard the word mindfulness? And most of them have not. So the definition of mindfulness that I'm working with is that mindfulness is being in the present moment.
Okay.
So if we're in the present moment, like, okay, so it's being in the present moment. So how do we know we're in the present moment? Right. So the kids will say, I think it's now. I think it's right now. Okay.
Good.
So, you know, I'll ask them, like, are you ever sitting in class? Right. Your body's in class. And where's your mind? They're like, it's not here.
Yeah, that can be a kid, can be an adult, can be anybody. Yeah.
Right. So where is it? So we know that as humans, our physical body can be in one location.
Yep.
And our mind can be in the past or it can be in the future.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So starting to understand that, and here's the cool thing, even explaining this to kids, they start getting it. You know,
okay.
Younger than 8, right? Because then I'll say, okay, now home and you're talking to your parents. Or, you know, or your parents are talking to you, where's your mind? Oh, it's not there. So, you know, then we go, okay, what about when your parents are talking to you? Is their mind there? Sometimes not. So we start getting, you know, we can start even checking in with ourselves and noticing, when is my mind and body in the same location?
So you get people more of an awareness of where they're, like I said, where they're, when they're in that moment, maybe talk to someone or even themselves too. Where am I? Am I focused on the present moment?
So here's the thing. When we just started our live and we did our breathing, what did we do?
Get into the present moment.
Mm-hmm. We brought ourselves into the present moment. So here's the thing. Wherever you put your hands, you're connecting, right? And you're putting your attention here. So we're focusing our attention on our body and our breath, which brings us here.
Good.
Right?
So is it, and by going back, the body and the breath, is the breath considered a way to reset the mind and body together?
Yes, because wherever you put your attention, right? You know, we're disrupting being in the past and thinking about whatever was there or worrying about the future.
Okay, got it.
We're changing that and we're putting our attention here. Movement and breath work can be really powerful to get people here. And then all of a sudden, you know, they say anxiety's in the future when you're thinking in the future and depression's in the past.
Got it. Okay.
So here was my next question. If I realized, okay, I'm teaching kids mindfulness, right? And we understand that mindfulness is being present, getting curious without judgment,
Yes.
Okay. So then I question, well, like, what's our mind? So okay. Those are the things I think about.
You're getting deeper and deeper and deeper. Got it.
Right? So literally, what's our mind? We talk about mindfulness. So here's the thing. People use the mind and the brain interchangeably. And okay. This, I'm hoping if you are a parent or if you're a teacher, please listen and share this, because I think that this is so important. I believe we're at a time where we're seeing a lot of paradigm shifts. And some of the things I may sound weird, but it's kind of like when we used to think the world was flat, right? And then realized it was round.
Yeah. You know,
things that are shifting pretty quickly right now. And so some of these concepts may sound foreign, but play with them. Okay. And so, So here's the idea was, okay, so what's our mind? Our brain is a physical structure in our head. Okay. Let me talk about the brain for a second. So this is really interesting. And a lot of the research that I use is from a man named Dr. Daniel Siegel. One of my favorite books called The Yes Brain. If you are a parent, if you are a teacher, this is a fabulous book by Dr. Daniel Siegel. Well, he is a therapist that works at a UCLA, and he's really been uncovering what the mind and the brain are. So all the things that I'm citing come from his work. But he was saying, like, when we're developing in utero, at some point, we're like a ball of cells. And while we're developing, and you tell me if you know this already or what your knowledge is on this, Dr. Tony.
Got it. Okay.
All of a sudden, that ball dips down, and that dip becomes your brain and your head. It becomes your spine. You know, it goes all the way down. Mm-hmm. It creates our nervous system. So one of the things that he said is our brain is actually our entire nervous system.
Yeah, I relate it back to it. When the body's developing, especially in utero, the first 12, 13 days, it's the primitive node, primitive streak. Mm-hmm. That's your, basically, you said, the brain and the back cerebellum connecting with the spinal cord itself. That's a primitiveness before it becomes actually the spinal cord or part of the brain.
Yeah.
So it actually starts within 10 to 15 days of you being born and stuff being fertilized.
Here was an important thing that he said is that those skins, when you were a ball, those were skin cells. Yes. And then those skin cells came inside.
Mm-hmm.
So our nervous system was outside of us at one point, and now it's inside.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So the reason we react to the things that happen outside of us is because our nervous system is made out of skin cells.
Got it. And it actually grows as your body develops different layers. It grows and continues to stay on the outside anyway. So it's always through your muscle layer, skin layer, everything else.
Yeah. And so what he's saying, and we can just play with this concept, is your whole entire nervous system is your brain. So that's
it's
why.
It's one system.
It's one system, right? So that's why when something happens, we'll feel it in our gut. We know we call our gut our second brain. We're calling our heart a brain, but it's literally the whole thing.
Yes.
Right. And so that's why we're really absorbing what's happening outside of us, and it's affecting us inside.
Is that why sometimes kids always complain of tummy ache or not feeling good, and it's in their stomach, they ate something, and we always think they ate something bad, but it can be an emotional trigger versus a physical trigger.
It's a lot of it is an emotional trigger. So it's literally whatever's happening outside of us. So our health is literally dependent on our own reaction to our environment.
Wow. Okay. That's a good point.
Okay. So when we learn how to be aware of our own reactions and put things in place, some mindfulness tools, things can happen outside of us, but we can be in charge of our reaction.
Got it. Okay.
Which is really important in this time, because there's a lot of things going on. But when we start practicing some of the things that, you know, I've been teaching, you know, and other people, you don't have to just use the things I'm teaching, find what works for you. But when you start practicing these things that relax your body, it's relaxing your nervous system, all of a sudden you don't react so much to the things outside of you.
If there's a way for me to interpret that with my patients is, as you become more aware of what your body is going through, you can train your body to become more tolerant to the stressors around you, so your body doesn't react to it in a physical or emotional way.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the same interpretation?
Absolutely. And you're probably going to see patients that if they're under a tremendous amount of stress, you're going to see them more. Because, you know, the spine is connected to everything. So if they're under stress, they're pulling their spine out of alignment constantly, right? They could just get an adjustment and then go be in it and then need to come back to you.
And I always go is, okay, yes, your neck hurts or your back hurts, but how do you sleep? Do you have nausea? Are you eating? Do you, when you eat, do you feel like you're tasting the food? Do you feel your other body parts are working properly? Because like you said, it's all connected to the overall body. So if the nerves are connected from the neck to the brain, and that brain sends signals to the whole body to either become relaxed or stay under stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at secondary symptoms, and not just your main concern coming into the office.
Yes. Yes. So does that clear on that word, kind of changing the definition of brain?
Mm-hmm. Yes, really, it is for me, but these other people, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Let me know if I'm making this clear. So our brain is our physical structure in our head, but it literally is our entire nervous system.
It connects the whole body, every organ, every tissue, every cell.
Right. So, our brain affects a lot. Now, then I had to figure out, okay, but our mind is not our brain. Because here's...
Go ahead. Yeah, why?
Right? You want to know why?
Yeah. I'm curious.
You get to tell me if I make sense. But this to me, I want every educator, every parent to know. It's just a huge passion of mine. Is that our brain does not leave our head.
Okay.
Right? Our brain is that physical structure that we're calling our nervous system. Our spine does not leave our body. Our brain, our physical brain and our head does not leave our body. But
okay.
Our mind can go to the past or the future.
Okay.
So what
happens? Guys, is it by memory or by creating a future?
So then we have to figure out, well, what is the mind? Because it's not the physical structure. So once again, I'm throwing out some concepts that may be new, but you know, hang in there with me and ask questions. Okay. So if the brain is a physical structure, the mind is something different that can leave, right? It can go to the past or the future, or it can be present. So then once again, I dove into the teachings of Dr. Daniel Siegel because he's been studying the mind and the brain for years. And so why not go to I don't make this stuff up. I just learn it and it makes sense and I bring it out.
So
he actually interviewed thousands of therapists, different modalities in science, and said, what is the agreement? What is the brain or what is the mind? There was not a common agreement on what the mind was.
Okay.
Old belief was the mind is just the activity of the brain. And if we believe that, it's a very separate, that's where people will feel really isolated. A lot of depression can come in because they believe that they're separate, that we're not connected. And what we're really learning in quantum physics is that we are energy beings, right? That we're energy and we're actually connected to everything. We're not disconnected. And so one of the things he looked at is all the diagnosis in the book. I don't know what the big book is for mental health, but any condition was all based on the brain, not including the mind.
Got it.
And that when he interviewed therapists, he said, what, you know, have you ever been trained in the mind? And they said, no. So one of the things he said is, how do we truly have mental health in this country if we have not understood what the mind is? And once again, we have mindfulness practices. So then we need to actually understand the mind.
Well, you're combining, I'm going to call it psychological theory versus actual, trying to connect the science to the psychology. And that psycho bio combination is not a new field per se, but a barely understood field.
So
because of the theory involved versus the actual fact how things work.
Yeah.
So psychobio is almost a way to analyze, and then you said then find results. How do we adjust either the internal intake of information or the chemical reactions to make the overall mind a better, healthier state?
Yes. So do you want to know what the definition of the mind? So he really brought together 80 different sciences to come up with a working definition of the mind. And so once again, this is newer, probably I would say, I don't know, years, 10, 15 years. So, you know, people are still learning and adjusting and seeing what they want to think about it in general. But the definition that he came up with is the mind. This is a little bit long, right?
Okay.
The mind is a self-organizational regulation of energy and information flow, as well as our consciousness and the subjective feeling of being alive. So our mind is energy and information flow. Okay, so that would make sense. Why? So it's going through our physical brain up here, but it's literally flowing through our whole entire nervous system.
So when you talk about it, so it's, I want to call it electrical impulses, voltage per se, along with information. How is information quantitated? Yeah, no, I'm going too deep.
Question. Yeah, you, sometimes you go deeper than I know. I'd say read the work of Dr. Siegel.
Got it. You're promoting the book. Got it.
I'm going to throw something out there because he said, you know, basically he's created, I'm going to show you this picture and we can post it. He created something called the triangle of well-being. Can you see that?
A little higher, a little higher.
Higher?
Yep, right there.
And so this picture, he talks about the mind is this energy and information flow. It flows through our body and it also flows in and between us. And so science has actually proven that the mind is through our body and also outside our body.
Okay.
So if you ever walked in a room and you felt somebody's energy, like you're like, oh, I like that person. They have a good vibe.
Yeah, and they used to call it pheromones also, right? So there's a, there's a hormonal...
smarter terms.
Yeah, big words I've heard before somewhere.
Right? So you can feel that. So we actually have energy flow between us.
Yes.
And it's also around us as well. So if you even have a like a kitchen sponge, imagine this is a kitchen sponge, this is your physical body. And you put that sponge in a bowl of water. Okay? That energy is going to flow through that sponge, but it's also around it. So you can look up the work of Bruce Lipton, Dr. Daniel Siegel. He's bringing it in very scientifically, which is accept, being accepted in the therapeutic world. And so we're really seeing jumps. I was trying to do jumps and leaps. Now we're seeing leaps in that, in understanding, because we're really in a new area of understanding our mind and our brain. There's so much that we're learning right now. And so I know what I'm sharing may be a little bit different and a little bit hard to understand, but I'm going to tie it together in a second and you let me know if this makes sense,
well,
right?
And then one thing, Christy, too, you're allowing, if the scientific world, it makes it valid and gives it credibility, mm-hmm. then the medical world and the healthcare world can now treat it on that concept to do a different type of
yes.
analysis of how the body can change from a different type of treatment.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I mean, what you're working with as a chiropractor, mm-hmm. you're literally working with the physical body, right?
Yes.
You know, we would say is this brain here, and you're also helping people, you know, you're actually working with the energy that's around in and around their body too.
That's the plan. And when you do that, it allows them mm-hmm. to have not better energy, but a different frequency. So people can realize that health benefit of being around that person for someone who may be unhealthy.
Right. And so once again, you know, if we can just play with this concept that our mind is energy and information flow through our whole entire body and around our body. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you're practicing mindfulness, right, what you're literally learning to do is you're learning to focus your mind.
That's it.
Okay. And what Dr. Siegel's proved and many other people have proved, or, you know, studying mindfulness is that when you learn to focus your mind, you change the physical structure of the brain. So say you have a child that has ADHD or has a hard time focusing, right? Or even for our own selves, right?
Yeah.
When you start doing these breathing practices and the movements that I teach, you're learning to bring yourself into the present moment, but you're focusing your mind, which is affecting your whole entire body. So one of the things I'll teach people is tapping their head for a minute, their heart, mm-hmm. their abdomen, focusing on their breath. They're bringing themselves into their present moment. They're relaxing their body, right?
Yep.
They're relaxing their mind, which is having a physical effect on their body.
Well, then Don had mentioned too, does it affect blood flow? Of course. Mm-hmm. If your body's more relaxed, in a good sense, your artery's going to vasodilate
right.
to allow
right.
more blood flow, to allow yes. that blood to flow to parts of the body. Like you said, even with the tapping too,
yes.
allow things to center, I'm going to call it center, and mm-hmm. connect the mind and body together
right.
along with the brain so everything can work in unison, not
yes.
kind of go against each other.
And so this is why, like going back to what you said, when a kid has a stomach ache,
mm-hmm.
you know, say they have a test coming up and all of a sudden they have a stomach ache.
Yes.
Right? It's literally their mind and their brain.
Yep, exactly.
And that's why when you can do some breathing or tapping and you're bringing them into the present moment, you're relaxing their body, their abdomen is going to relax. All of a sudden that stomach ache is going to go away. And so that's why, you know, I'm taking you on this journey of understanding the difference.
Let's take a quick break. Is there a squirrel behind you on the countertop?
My cat.
Okay, come back. I couldn't see it from here. Is that a squirrel? I don't know what it was. So I just want to make sure.
I always show up in these, you know, I think I need to get it on screen. But yeah, she just decided.
I love it. I have a buddy of mine. His dog always barks in the background when he does podcasts. It's great.
Yeah, she'll show up somewhere if she wants attention, and she'll just, you know, be on her journey.
A little comic relief, that's all I'm happening for, a little comic relief.
Yes, so I wanted to see, and anybody that's on here, is this making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions that you have, please let us know as well. And Dr. Tony, if you see any questions as we're going along too, let me know.
There's one between from Donna Bell where it says, difference between the body brain and the heart brain.
Okay. And Donna's really an expert on the body, and I mean, just an expert in general. But if we get that we have more neurons around our heart, and Donna, you can tell me if I'm correct on this, than we do in our brain here. And so there's a, if you look up heart math, are you familiar with heart math, Dr. Tony?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No, I had one to one, and that's about it.
Okay. And so my friend Donna Loeffler, that's on here too, she teaches something called heart math. And basically what they have found is that when you focus on a feeling in your heart, you can entrain your brain, you actually change the brain waves in your brain here, and you can align, you know, when you focus on love and gratitude and peace here, it aligns your brain here. So that is how powerful our heart is. And I'm not even doing it any justice. The two Donnas could explain it way better, but they talk about that this heart, when you focus on that heart feeling, is really, really powerful for helping the physical brain in our head.
If you help the physical brain in the head, then your overall body can get to a healthier state.
Yes.
Is that the result?
Yeah. Okay. You know, to realize that, okay, this is something interesting. So much of who we are is not seen. We can't see.
What do you mean?
Emotions. Okay, so we can't see our emotions. We can't see the things that we've experienced in life. So it's going to be the things that we've experienced in life that literally shape our physical brain and our mind. So how we react to something, you know, if a child was in an abusive situation as a child, their brain is going to have a trauma brain, right? They're going to see things in a place of fear. So somebody might just be, you know, handing them something and they might be thinking it's a threat.
That might be a trigger for them.
It may be a trigger. So it's just something to be aware of, that nobody sees things the same thing, same way. And so much of what's shaping us, even though we look like we're, you know, we're humans, right? And we have eyes and a nose and whatever, but who we are, our emotions, our subconscious mind, our habits, our imagination, all those things are invisible and they're not seen. So a lot of who we are, I would say about 90% of who we are, you can't even see. And then we expect children to be a certain way, but we don't even know what their life experiences are that have shaped their mind and shaped their brain.
And sometimes as adults, we think, well, why can't they just think like we do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and because they have nothing to go by. They have no background, or if it is, it might be negative or positive. We just don't know.
Yes.
How do you get someone to, especially a child, get them to verbalize what they're feeling and get them to understand that that's going to help them improve their overall health and avoid those triggers that may trigger a bad experience, for example?
Great. So I want to add one more thing to this triangle. Can you see it? Because when I hold it up, I can't see it. So if you
go a little higher,
if you see this triangle,
turn to the left a little bit.
Okay, left. Is it this way?
Other left.
Left. Okay,
there you go. Right there. You're good. Right there.
Left or my left? You notice it says brain, which is a physical structure. The mind, which is our energy flow, right? And then there's a top one of relationships. So here's everything outside of us is a relationship.
Okay.
So Dr. Siegel and his community define relationships as a sharing of energy and information flow.
Got it.
You and I have a relationship. We're sharing energy and information. Just sitting on a chair, we have a relationship with that chair.
Exactly.
We're sharing energy and information flow.
Got it.
So, to me, here's the power of knowing this stuff. And I just appreciate you going on this long journey. You didn't know what you were in for when we hopped on here.
I was like, well, okay.
Okay, Christy, whatever you want to do, right? So here's the thing. When we are a person that becomes more mindful of our behavior, right? Okay. We're able to step back from situations. We're learning how to be more in the present moment. With curiosity, letting go of judgment. And this is what's so important, and I want parents and teachers to know the important role you play in kids' lives, right? Or even if you just are in some type of a child's life, right? Mm-hmm. When we can be present with a child, we are shaping their mind, right? So say a child's struggling to get their homework done, and we're present. Let's do some breathing together. I hear that you're really frustrated right now. Tell me what the challenge is for you. And you're able to hear what that child's feeling and what they're experiencing. And then you're able to work on some solutions together. You being that adult in a child's life that's present, you're helping them form their mind, right? With care and compassion and love.
And you're, like you mentioned, that's a good point. You're forming their mind to build a healthier connection mm-hmm. on how to deal with that stress.
Mm-hmm. So here's the best thing we can do as adults in kids' lives. The more present we are, the more we take care of our own emotional state, we can have a profound impact on kids. Now, if we're not present, right? And I'm going to tell you, my kids could tell you this. I did not know these tools when my kids were young.
So I
was not a very present parent, and I reacted a lot to things. You know, if they did something like, I can't believe you did that, right? What was I doing to their mind?
Basically, in a negative sense, forming a negative relationship to what was going on. So mm-hmm. would they want to come to you again? What was going on? Probably not.
Right.
Yeah. Or hide it from you.
Yeah, we say, tell me the truth. Like, you know, tell me.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then we
hit
my lid, right? And then they're like, well, that didn't work very well.
I'm out of here.
You know, so here's, you know, when we're working with kids, our energy, if we're present, is going to make the biggest difference. And so that's probably the biggest message I want to get out in our time, is that when we can be aware of our own emotional state, mm-hmm. and we can start practicing some of the breathing. So I always recommend first thing in the morning, practicing your power breathing, one hand on your heart, one hand on your abdomen, because you're connecting your physical brains and your mind together, right?
Yeah.
And then doing some tapping. And I know you're going to connect a video that has these exercises in it. So
Definitely.
We don't have to do them in this moment. But when we start, we're practicing those. We're helping to create a natural state of balance in our body, which I call, you know, when you're creating a natural state, it means that we have a cool head and a warm abdomen.
Yep.
And so that's a big thing I talk about, and I refer to that in that video. Do you want me to touch on that, or do you want me to just?
A little bit, and
I know we've got
a lot
of
that connection. Yeah, we have maybe 5 more minutes.
Five more minutes? Okay. So, you know, once again, one of the ways we can be aware of what's going on in our own body is by understanding that we have a natural state of balance. And our natural state of balance is very much like a tree. A tree needs sunshine coming down to nourish it and water coming up its roots to nourish it. When it gets enough of both, it thrives. We are like a tree. We create warm energy in our body. Our energy is meant to flow down to our abdomen. When it does, we digest our food properly. Our circulation is good. We go to the bathroom properly. And when something happens, like we feel balanced and grounded on our feet, so when something happens, we don't freak out.
Yep.
That signals our kidneys to release water, goes up to our head, and it cools our head. So our natural state is a cool head and a warm abdomen.
Yeah, and you're talking about a healthy, balanced body that's mm-hmm. working together, and it's one system to where if your head's not working properly, the body can't work properly either.
Right, and so here's the thing. If you're starting to feel frustrated or anxious or worried, and you can, I'll stand up for a second and see if we can, you know, and you can put one hand on your heart, one hand on your abdomen,
mm-hmm.
you know, close your eyes and take a few deep breaths, right?
Yeah.
To your abdomen, when you're breathing all the way to your abdomen, you're turning off the stress response in your body. Or, you know, another simple exercise is just stand with your feet shoulder width apart and just bounce your knees and shake your arms. Imagine you're a noodle and you're just shaking any tension out of your body. You're breathing. And just imagine any tightness, tension, just shaking that out. Once again, or tapping your head a little bit, bouncing your knees, tap your head. Let me see if I can get back a little farther.
There you go. There you go. Yep.
Good. And you're breathing and just feeling where you're tapping, you're getting more blood flow to your brain, more oxygen to your brain. You're bringing yourself into the present moment. Tap here. Now we're bringing our energy down to our heart. So we're actually creating this natural state, getting blood flow to our heart, to our lungs, and breathing. You will feel your head cool down. And then we tap here, bringing that warmth to our intestines. And so we tap here, and then you can even turn your head side to side. So you're bouncing your knees, turning your head side to side, and tapping here for a couple minutes. Once you stop, you'll realize that you've had an energy shift in your body. You've shifted your energy, and all of a sudden you have a cool head. So we can use our body to help us, you know, when we notice that we're feeling frustrated or our kids are feeling frustrated, we can do this together with them.
Good. You're teaching them a good way to de-stress their body and get them to a better, healthier state.
Here's the thing. What is it doing? It's relaxing our brain, our nervous system, and it's relaxing our mind as well. So even if you don't understand that concept fully, just know doing that is working with both.
Well, and realize, like you're talking about, if I'm doing this, I'm focusing on this, not what's in my mind that I'm stressed about.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
If I'm doing something with my hands, my body, my emotion, I'm a wet noodle, and that's when I focus on that motion, not what's in my mind causing me stress.
So here's the thing. You just took yourself out of the past or the future, because whatever's causing you stress is going to be somewhere along that, right? And you're bringing yourself into the present moment. When you change the energy in your body, you change your emotional state.
Huge.
And so, you know, so just one thought, when we have a kid, like I know a lot of parents right now are struggling with getting their kids to focus.
Okay. Even adults are struggling to focus right now.
Focus. And so what are things that help you relax? Use your body, get up and go outside for 10 minutes, practice some of the exercises that will be in the video, or go on a walk, change the energy in your body, start paying attention. Here's the thing, whatever you're feeling is going to give you an idea of what's going on in your mind and what's going on in your brain. So what's going on around you and what's going on, you know, within your nervous system. And so whatever we keep telling ourselves, whatever we focus on, we're going to get more of.
And a lot of it is going to be is when you, like you talked about with motion, when we move, our body will naturally de-stress. Mm-hmm. And when we move with coordination, if we need coordination, because I have very little of it sometimes, you need coordination, then you have to focus on that present moment, not what's in the past or present. Like you said, that present moment is so important to focus on.
Yeah, so the more we can bring ourselves into the present moment, and there's so many different things you can do, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can literally just put your attention, you know, say you're, I don't know, pulling weeds. You can just be aware of what does the soil feel like and feeling the sun shining down on you. You know, or you're, you know, writing, you can focus on the feeling of the pencil. It's just, it's bringing yourself, it's training your mind to focus on what's right there with you. And so it takes us out of that worry state.
Huge.
And so once again, when we have a child that's struggling, the best thing we can do is help them change the energy in their body and start noticing what are they actually feeling. If they're saying just, I feel like I can't do this. Okay, let's take a break. Let's you know, play some of these games together. Let's get outside and go play catch for a little bit, and then we'll come back to this. Okay, and then we can start putting in, okay, what can we put in place that's going to help you?
Got it.
But we've got to be aware that whatever we're feeling is actually triggering our mind and our brain.
Got it.
And that's...
And what I like about it is a lot of it is when we're under stress, when we're frustrated, what do we normally want to do? We want to not do anything. We almost want to go into our own little shell. Mm-hmm. And you want almost to fight that feeling by moving to de-stress your body, by getting things to get back to a better, healthier state.
Yes.
You want to fight that.
Yeah. So if you're feeling that, oh my gosh, that's what I'm feeling. Let me move.
Yeah.
Right? You know, or laugh or do something, you know, change the energy state.
Yeah.
And so, exactly. you know, probably one of my best, you know, messages that I want to get out to adults is that the more that you can become aware of what you're feeling in your body, and if you're tight or stressed, do these things for yourself. Because when you do it for yourself, it's going to help your kids. Our kids feel our energy.
Mm-hmm. You want to be the example first too.
Right? And so when we can take care of our own state, if we're going to help our kids with their homework, make sure that you're in a place of calm. So then you can be effective, right? And do whatever that takes for you to be in that state. And that's taking care of your own emotional wellness as well. Then it's going to be effective. As soon as we're frustrated, it's only going to get worse. And if we're like, okay, no, I just got to sit here and focus. I just got to sit here and focus. Right.
Yeah.
It's not effective. So
no.
Yeah. Is this useful?
I think it is, because it allows people to see why we want to move, we all want to help our kids, right? Even ourselves too. But how do we do it? Giving people exactly what to do and how to the step by step to get to a better, healthier state. And that point, and it trickled down to their kids.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We always want to help our kids. You know, people are like, I want to help my kids. I want to help my students. The best way you can help kids is you help yourself.
Exactly.
You practice your self-care so you're in a place of feeling balanced, cool head, warm abdomen. And once again, you can check in. You start feeling frustrated. Ah, it's time for a brain break, right? Yep. These brain breaks literally take 1 or 2 minutes. Do it and you're going to feel different.
That's the plan. Move more, people.
Mm-hmm.
We all have to.
Get outside. Right? Take a walk. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know we're limited to our locations, but that's okay. Go out in your backyard, go out in your front yard, take a walk around the block, move your body and laugh and have fun.
Yeah.
It's key for brain health that we laugh and have fun. And that's what you're
doing
too, Tony, Dr. Tony.
It's amazing how that works though. You know, when you smile more, when you laugh more, you watch a funny movie, you just feel better afterwards.
Yeah.
You watch a depressing movie or depressing song, you feel like, okay, wow, that was a good movie. That was a good song. I want to be more, if you surround yourself with either visual or auditory or again with motion, then you get yourself a healthier, relaxed state.
Yeah. So think about what brings you joy, what makes you feel good. Put those things in place, especially now. If we're listening to things that are scary and we're listening to news all the time, it's going to be affecting our brain and our mind. Right?
Exactly.
And so, you know what you need to do. Let's practice all the things we're supposed to practice and then focus on what brings you joy.
Right now, today's sunny, like Donna's mentioning too. Go outside, enjoy a little bit of sunshine for you and get a little warm. You warm your body up. It can only help your body.
Yes. Yeah. And so, I hope that I'm making sense that the importance of the mind and the brain, and then we add those movement pieces in it, you're strengthening, you're building a healthy mind, you're building a healthy brain. You feel good. Here's the key. When you feel good, I mean, you are able to see things in a different way that you might not have seen if you were feeling angry or frustrated or.
And like, so when you feel good, the energy around you allows to help somebody else that may not be feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling poor, feeling excited and anxious.
Yes.
At that point, how is it going to help somebody else?
Right. And so when we feel good, we can actually support people in feeling good. But if we feel, you know, angry, we're actually going to be putting that into their. Yeah. And there's something called mirror neurons. Are you familiar with mirror neurons?
I've heard of neurons. I know mirrors, but not combination of both words together.
No.
Sorry.
Sometimes say I was eating a banana. It's going to light up a certain part of my brain. You watching a banana, it's going to light up the same part of your brain.
Wow.
So here's the thing. If I walk in a room and I'm angry, guess whose brain it's going to light up?
Yeah, not mine.
So that's the thing. Whatever energy we walk into in a room, we're actually signaling everybody else's brain to light up in that.
Good.
So when I work with teachers, I say, make sure you feel good when you walk in the classroom.
Eat a banana every day. It's not going to hurt you.
So, yeah. And if anybody has questions, I'll go back through this and answer them. Once again, I hope this was useful. I know it's a little deep. And I think the more we're learning these things, we can start looking at things in a different perspective. And even if like, okay, that sounds kind of weird. Okay. You know, that's okay. But what can you take from it that could be useful, that realizing that when we're learning to focus our mind and bring ourselves into the present moment Right.
And a lot of it is you're giving people the value of why we want to do certain things. So mm-hmm. once they try it, even if it's uncomfortable for them, they mm-hmm. see the result. They go, this is why it's working.
Yeah.
That they can go back and go, this is why I'm doing this. This is how they can explain to their friends, family, coworkers, whoever it is, mm-hmm. that this is why I'm doing this, even though it maybe seem weird, because it's making me the better, healthier state.
Right. Just know everything I do is a little bit different. It's out of the box. Now, the reason we're tapping our abdomen a lot is because our intestines are, you know, our second brain. We make 80% of our immune system in our intestines, 90% mm-hmm. of our serotonin, you know, our feel-good chemicals made in our intestines, and 50% of our dopamine. So for our intestines to be relaxed and warm is key for emotional and physical health. And so when we tap there, we're creating warmth, we're creating flexibility, because we are absorbing the things that are happening outside of us. Our reaction is being felt in our gut. That's why people get stomach aches or digestive issues when they're under stress.
It's huge. That may be short-term digestive issues or nausea, mm-hmm. but long-term, their overall body gets affected, where they feel tightness everywhere. They feel more sense of everything around them.
Right.
So realize that can, if it's prolonged state, then the long-term effects affects the whole body, not just that one area.
Yes. And so then once again, even when people come to you, you're helping them align their spine, which can help them digestively as well, because mm-hmm. you're helping to get the body back into balance, another natural state of balance.
Yeah.
Right. So, and so then if they're learning these tools along with the adjustments, then they're going to have lasting results and success. But if they keep having those same triggers, they're going to keep experiencing the same things.
We mentioned some, you're helping them learn, you're helping them, you're educating your clients, my patients, to become a better understanding of their body, their mind, how to stay healthy, where they are, what their stress state is at the present moment. You're allowing them that ability to focus on what's helping them get to better state. So even though they may see me, they're learning about their body. They're learning about how to take home information and mm-hmm. why that's important for their own health and people around them.
Yeah, and that's because the value is not only the adjustments that you're giving them, you're teaching them how to relax their body when they're at home.
That's it.
Right?
Good.
And so when they close together, it's powerful.
It works out well. Don is going for a run. I got to go grab a lunch before I get back to work in 20 minutes or so. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. I am going to post that video you had last week with your motion videos and also the plate exercise, everything else you had done. That allows people to see, again, the value of this, mm-hmm. why we need to do more motion, why we do certain motions like you had mentioned in the video, so at that point our body can stay relaxed, stay in the present moment, and help people around us.
Yes. And all those exercises in there are designed for kids as well. So I geared it for kids, but parents do it too, or adults do it too, because it benefits everybody.
It's not going to hurt anybody, you know, to do them. I mean, you won't even pull a muscle. I don't think you can pull a muscle.
Feel good.
Yeah, it should be injury free.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
So it's always
so fun. Thank you, Christy.
Thanks for letting me come and join you.
No problem. We'll have fun. And hopefully, but when everything is over here with the pandemic, we can get together again and do a one-on-one video and mm-hmm. do more of the motion videos like we've done before.
Absolutely. All right. Okay. Have a great
Thank you guys. Thanks for watching.
Yes, everybody.
If we want to help our kids, even help ourselves, can this talk with Christy, understanding the difference between the mind and the brain, and the link between the mind, brain, and body, help us understand that when we stay calm, when we're relaxed, we think better, we're physically healthier. Overall body can be healthy to help our kids and help hopefully them understand too how to maintain these steps and these exercises, such as tapping as Christy goes through and breathing, to help our body relax, get to a healthier state, and stay there. And again, this talk has all the highlights of what we talked about during the interview. And also go to our previous podcast, our video or podcast itself too. At that point, learn how to keep yourself healthy, relax, calm, and help your friends and family. All right, so enjoy the weekend. Have a good one. We'll see you next week.